Hazard Audio.
This week on Sports Appeal, Steve Gross returns and wastes no time with Matt Axelrod getting into the NBA with the Bulls, the Knicks, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, followed by baseball with Houston, and all the spitballs you can handle. It's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it! Because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
Welcome to Sports Appeal. Steve Gross back in the saddle here with my co-host, Matt Axelrod. You can find us every week right here at podbean.com, or you can get us on iTunes, subscribe on there, leave us a nice review, rate us 5 stars. Love it when you guys do that. Tweet at us at the Sports Appeal. We interact with you guys on Twitter all the time. We try to respond to everyone who tweets at us, so make sure you send us a tweet. All of our music on the show is provided by Full Service, our studio band. You can get all their music on iTunes and Spotify. And as always, we're produced by Johnny Five.
And powered by Hazard Audio.
Thank you, Johnny. This week, Matt, we're going to jump right into the NBA playoffs. It's been a lot of fun lately. We're down to 4 teams. Who do you like?
It's got to be Golden State.
Yeah.
And I was down on them earlier in the season. I didn't think they had what it took to be a real contender. I fully admit that I was wrong. They are very good. They do it in a very unconventional way. Usually jump shooting teams don't make it as far as they've made it. And I think that they're going to sweep this series. They're only one game away. And I think they're probably going to sweep the Cavs in the finals too.
They have that stigma of being a jump shooting team, but they can do so much more. Like, Steph Curry is not just a jump shooter. He can create off the dribble. His handle is ridiculous. He can get in the lane, do whatever he needs to do. It's not just a jump shooting team.
Right, and he is also absolutely showing that he fully deserved the MVP award this year. I mean, his playoff stats are unreal. He's averaging 30 points a game with 6.6 assists, 5 rebounds, shooting 45% from three-point range.
45% from three. That's not just field goal percentage, it's three-point percentage.
He's been great.
And it's been good, too, because Klay Thompson hasn't been that great, so Steph's had to pick up the slack for him. Draymond Green has been really, really good. This team is going to be tough to beat. I hope we get 7 games of Golden State versus Cleveland, because that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
One of the underappreciated aspects of this team is Andrew Bogut has actually stayed healthy and played well throughout these playoffs, and that's really been one of their big weaknesses in the past, is Bogut gets injured fairly often, and he's actually been consistently a contributor on this team, and they need that. He's a pretty good center. They need at least, like, a competent center to hold down the fort inside.
Yeah, he's okay. He's a big body down low, which they need. I like the lineup when they go with Draymond Green at center more. I think they're more effective that way. But yeah, they do need a big guy down low to play 25, 30 minutes a game. They do. You're right about that. Cleveland has just been destroying Atlanta, which pains me to say it because I've been on the Atlanta bandwagon for the whole postseason, but they just don't match up. They can't hang.
Well, and then the injuries have decimated them, although
no
Cleveland hasn't escaped the injury issue either. Losing Kevin Love, and then Kyrie Irving's missed a bunch of games, and he hasn't been very effective in a lot of the games he's played.
Atlanta lost Cephalosha when he got his leg broken by NYPD. Kyle Korver is out now.
Yeah, that's brutal, losing Kyle Korver, because he stretches the floor like nobody else in the game besides maybe Steph Curry.
Yeah, they don't have a shot without him. He's a really important piece of their team. Damari Carroll's really banged up. He's an important piece because he's the guy who bodies up LeBron. He's their best hope of defending LeBron. I'm not saying he matches up well, but he's the guy that's been taking on that assignment. They can throw Kent Bazemore in there. He's a good scorer, but I don't think he can defend LeBron at all. So I think Atlanta's done.
Yeah, I agree. I think Atlanta's going to get swept. And, you know, for how everyone was talking about these were going to be such unpredictable playoffs, we have the number one and number two seed in both conferences. And, yeah, it's going to be the one seed versus, I mean, I know Cleveland wasn't the one seed, but everybody assumed from the get-go that they were going to be the best team, the team that comes out of the East.
Yeah, they were the favorite.
Right.
For sure. They weren't the one seed, but they were the favorite. And TNT's been running the soundbite of Reggie Miller saying, "This has been the most unpredictable playoffs in NBA history." Like, really? The 4 teams are 1 and 2 seeds. Not that unpredictable.
No, it's really not. Though some of the things that have happened have been unpredictable, but that happens every year.
So let's talk about your Bulls a little bit, because I think this was their best shot to get past LeBron in the playoffs, and they kind of screwed the pooch on it this year.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I agree with that. It definitely is their best shot since 2010-2011. This is probably a more complete team than the 10-11 team that went to the conference finals. but that team had Derrick Rose in his MVP year.
Oh, and I'm sorry. I'm going to stop you because I'm not saying this is the best shot they've ever had. I'm saying this is the best shot they're going to have for the foreseeable future.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would agree with that. They have a ton of question marks now. Now, they also have some really good building blocks, but when you're talking about a contender that, you know, a team that has been seen as a contender for a while and likes to consider themselves a contender, when you start talking like their best attribute is they have some good building blocks, that's worrying.
Yeah, that Kyrie Irving banged up, Kevin Love is out, that J.R. Smith suspended for 2 games, Pau Gasol's getting older, is Jimmy Butler going to stay? We don't know. There's rumors about him and Derrick Rose not getting along now. This was their best shot moving forward, and they blew it.
Right, and they're probably going to have a different coach next year. There's some really interesting stuff going on with that. A report actually just came out that the Bulls, Tom Thibodeau won't agree to a trade because he doesn't want to help the Bulls out if they're getting rid of him. This is all rumor, but that is an interesting one. And then the Bulls supposedly are going to wait to fire Tom Thibodeau until all other coaching vacancies have been filled so that he can't go pick up and go coach somewhere else next year, which actually costs them money, and they're doing it, if this is true, just out of spite.
That is medieval, man. I can't believe they're doing that.
It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, the organization I love to watch is really just, if any of these rumors are true, turning into a cesspool of just awful.
Speaking of cesspool of awful, the New York Knicks.
Yes.
My God, dude. This is so bad.
They had a 16-win season. You poor fans. You suffer through a 16-win season and then get the 4th pick in the draft.
Oh, God. It was heartbreaking to watch. When they pulled the Knicks logo out of the envelope for the 4th pick, I was stunned. Like, no. We suffered through this season. We were promised a rebuild. Phil Jackson is going to fix the team. None of that is happening. Things have only gotten worse since we got Phil Jackson. Nothing has gotten better. Nothing.
I can't say I'm too surprised. I'm not saying I thought Phil Jackson was going to be a bad GM, but when Phil Jackson was signed, I heard so many people saying, the Knicks are saved, you know, they're going to actually be good now. Phil Jackson's here, our savior, and I just didn't buy it because he's never been a GM before. I mean, Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time. Is he a good GM? So
he's getting better.
Yeah, he's
learning.
It's taken him how long?
Yeah, but Phil Jackson has a little bit more management experience than Michael Jordan, and Knicks fans were really looking for something to cling to, and that was what it was. But now, we had a terrible season, we got the 4th pick, we're going to end up with some kid who played in China, I've never even seen him play, Emmanuel Mudiay is probably going to be the 4th pick, that's probably who the Knicks are going to end up with. Things are just bad. Carmelo Anthony doesn't want to be there, it doesn't seem like. I don't see anything positive with this team whatsoever.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, but, you know, at least you got a good chance of getting a number one pick next year, too.
We should, because we should trade this year's number one pick. That's what they need to do. I'm so sick of the Knicks. And I know they're going to mess up this pick. They're going to. They're such a dumpster fire. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
The other big story in the NBA recently, Mitch Kupchak of the Lakers has announced that Kobe Bryant is going to be retiring after next season. And that is truly the end of an era.
It really is. Kobe Bryant's been in the NBA for 46 years, something
like
that.
Yeah, something like that. Longer than he's been alive, in fact. It's really a weird statistical anomaly.
Yeah, it is really weird. I've never been a big Kobe fan. I find him hard to like, honestly. But the NBA is better when he's playing. He's awesome. He is.
Yeah, he's so much fun to watch. Anytime a guy can take on the injuries that he does and then continue to play through them, like, yeah, I know I'm going to miss the rest of the season, but let me finish this game. Like,
yeah, there's nobody in the NBA tougher than Kobe Bryant, and there's nobody that has more of a killer instinct than him either. He is an assassin. He will knock you down, put his foot on your throat, and he'll laugh while he's doing it.
Right. And LeBron James, through the first 10 years of his career, has proven himself to be a better player than Kobe Bryant was even in the first 10 years. And even
as far as
prime.
Skill goes.
Right.
Yeah.
And as far as numbers go. But, man, if LeBron had Kobe's instincts, his killer instinct, that would be the best player ever.
Yeah. It'd be him and Jordan right there. Jordan didn't have the athletic skill that LeBron James has, but LeBron does not have the mentality. He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. And it's kind of a shame. So that's all the time we have for the NBA. We're going to go to break. But when we come back, we've got Major League Baseball talking about the spitball and the tweet zone.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Sports Appeal. Guys, go check us out on Twitter. We're at The Sports Appeal. And right now, we got our producer, Johnny Five, with the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
Alrighty, our first tweet is coming from at Peter Rivera 20. And he's saying to us, the main difference between Curry and Harden is that the Splash Brother wants the ball and will take the shot during the final 2 minutes.
So, when Peter sent us this, I was thinking to myself, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I feel like James Harden always wants the ball, and he'll always take the shot. And then that night was a game between the Warriors and the Rockets, and Harden had the ball with 5 seconds left, and he passed the ball to Dwight Howard, of all people, on a fast break, got the ball back, and didn't get a shot off in time. So Peter was kind of right.
Yeah, at least that one time. I think I agree with you. James Harden usually does seem willing to be the guy and to take the shot in the final minutes, although not to the same degree. He won't call for it to the same degree that Steph Curry will.
Right, and I think the big difference between the two is Steph Curry plays a shred of defense, which Harden does not. And Curry is way more charismatic.
See, I don't think that's really true anymore about Harden with the defense, honestly. Harden has really stepped up his defensive game this season, and that was a big goal for him going into the season. Now, he's still not a good defender, but he does play defense now, and he does try. I've seen him make good defensive plays this year.
I guess he's made good defensive plays. The only defense I see him playing really is getting rebounds, which he does go down low and try to get rebounds, but he'll just let guys blow by him. I don't see him playing a whole lot of defense at all.
He's made significant strides this year. He really, when you compare this year to past years, he gives a lot more effort on the defensive end from what I've seen. But as to the issue of Harden taking less shots at the end of games, I have to wonder if some of that may come from being the number three option for so long on the Thunder and not being the guy, and now he finally is and is taking some adjustment for it.
There's something to be said for that, but again, I don't think he has this complex where he doesn't want the ball and won't take the shot. I think he'll shoot the ball as long as he's in the building.
All right, this tweet's dealing with a new rule that's come about. It's coming from at RayRayCharles33. How much do you think the new extra point rule will actually change things, other than eliminating any chance of a fake?
The new extra point rule is that extra points will be kicked from the 15-yard line, and the two-point conversions will still go from the 2-yard line. So there is now no opportunity to fake, because you're not going to, like, from the 15-yard line decide, yeah, I'm going to try and trick him and rush it 15 yards into the end zone for 2 points. I agree. That was the one thing that I did like about the extra point rule as it existed before, was that you could have those fakes, which was really the only exciting thing that there would ever be on an extra point.
Yeah, I don't really see this rule change having much impact besides that. I think the biggest change was that the defense can now score on an extra point. They can now run it back to the other end zone and get 2 points
and
for it.
I do like that rule. I think that that's really
too.
Cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that. So for our next tweet, we had tweeted out about Will Smith's 8-game suspension for having a foreign substance on his forearm. He got tossed out of the game and he got suspended. So about that, we had tweeted out that Michael Pineda last year got a 10-game suspension. We said the suspension should just be one start, which is dumb because he's a reliever anyway. But then we said nobody really cares about this rule. So then we got a tweet from one of our fans. John, you want to read it?
Yeah, it's not like he took the air out of a football or anything diabolical like that.
That's pretty good by Brendan's 2 cents there.
Yep, I agree. It's a stupid rule, and we were actually going to talk about that a little more coming up. But it does seem pretty ridiculous the way this rule is approached by the league and the general feeling. Because, like, players don't seem to really care, for the most part, about the foreign substance rule, even hitters. The way they talk about it, everybody does this, and it was just because it was so obvious that he actually got caught.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was even upset when he got back to the dugout. He was yelling at the other team for calling him out because everybody does it. And hitters even say they prefer it because the pitcher has more control over the ball. And if someone's throwing a baseball at you at 95 miles per hour,
You want them to have as much control over that thing as possible.
That's fair. My favorite part about this story is how ridiculous it is that a guy gets caught cheating by the other team and yells at the other team for calling him out for cheating.
It kind of reminds me of the Patriots situation, which I think is what Brendan was trying to point out here. You know, the similarities are kind of weird. Tom Brady gets caught cheating, and everybody wants him to get the most severe penalty possible. And then this guy gets caught cheating in baseball, and everyone's like, who cares? Everyone does it. The parallels are staggering, and it's just completely different reactions.
Yeah, and I think part of it is just it's so much more pervasive.
Yeah.
We're now starting to learn that lots of teams doctor the balls in ways that go against the rules. But in baseball, everybody knows it, and everybody's known it for 100 years. So it's not we're just so used to it that it's like, this is still a thing. Whereas in football, it still has some impact when you hear about it.
Yeah, it's so commonplace in baseball that they have a specific brand of sunscreen that they like to use for this. It's so commonplace that they're like, this is the one to use. Tell everybody.
Alrighty, guys, that wraps up the Tweet Zone. For all your tweets, if we're getting on the Tweet Zone, hit us up at The Sports Appeal, and let's move right along.
Let's talk about some more baseball. We were just talking about Will Smith with the spitball issue. Brian Mattis of the Orioles got caught doing this 3 days later. Nothing seems to be changing. These guys are still doing it, and I don't think there's any problem with it.
No, I don't either. And I think the players don't seem to mind, even the hitters, and then everybody does it. So part of the reason also, apart from just wanting the pitchers to have more control, is these hitters know that their own pitchers do it too. So everybody is just kind of in cahoots about not calling out pitchers because then they don't want their own guys to get called out for it either. Then you hear this talked about on all these sports talk shows, and the general sense is they're saying that he got in trouble more for not being subtle about how he cheated.
Yeah, I know.
And that to me is indicative of a bad rule. When your only complaint about the rule is the way in which people were violating it and being so blatant about it, that means the rule's got to be changed.
And these guys are boneheads, the guys who are getting caught. Like, everyone does this. If you're just going to slather it on your forearm, I mean, you kind of deserve to be punished. Mm-hmm. You look at a guy like Clay Buchholz. His hair is so greasy, like he touches his hair in between every pitch. What do you think he's doing? You know, guys put it inside their glove. They do all kinds of stuff. So if you're just blatantly putting it on your forearm, you're basically asking to get called out for this.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, when the whole approach is like, be more sneaky about how you cheat and then no one will care, I just want the rule gone because no one already cares. The only thing people care about is that you're flaunting a bad rule so blatantly.
Let's talk about some actual baseball, not just cheating.
Let's start with your Yankees. They're doing well, huh?
Yeah, they are falling apart. The whole AL East is falling apart.
The Yankees were doing so well. They had the division lead last week, and now they're one game over 500 with a run differential of zero, and they've lost 9 of their last 10 games, including 5 in a row.
Yeah. One game over 500 and a run differential of zero. That is aggressive mediocrity. Like, you can't get more average than that. It's crazy. And I think the pitching has really fallen off. CC Sabathia, he is not the CC Sabathia of old. He's terrible.
The real big surprise this season so far has got to be the Houston Astros, who are 12 games over 500. And over the last several years, the last 5 years, at 27 wins, which they were couple games ago, I saw a stat that said that at 27 wins over the last several seasons, they'd had at least 30 losses, and usually upwards of 40 for the last several years. And at this point, when they had 27 wins, they had 16 losses. So just completely flipping the script on the past few seasons.
And when you look at their team, they have the best record in Major League Baseball right now. And they have the worst batting average in Major League Baseball.
What are they batting now? 230 as a team?
228.
228, yeah.
Batting 228, and they have the best record in Major League Baseball.
And their pitching has been good, which really does, at least in part, account for it. But it doesn't seem like it's been so good as to account for being the best team in baseball with a batting average of 228.
They lead the major leagues in home runs. There it is. That's it right there. Their batting average is terrible. They hit for a lot of power. That's it, man. They're like the Rockies of old when they had the Blake Street Bombers or the Yankees in the early 90s. They just swing for the fences.
There's probably a certain amount of luck that goes into it at this point early in the season, too. I got to think if their batting average stays as low as 228, they won't end up being the best team in baseball. Although they do have the power and they do have good pitching. So I do still think that they'll end up being a good team.
Yeah, what they're doing right now is not sustainable. We have to talk about Bryce Harper. This kid has been tearing up Major League Baseball. He's taken a giant step. toward being the player that we all thought he was going to be when he got drafted.
Yeah, and the main thing holding him back in the past has been some nagging injury issues. He's missed a bunch of time, and he's played through a bunch of injuries that have really set him back. But this year, he has really come on. I mean, his stats are just eye-popping. He has 16 home runs. His previous career high was 22. His WAR right now, his wins above replacement, according to ESPN's metric, is 3.7. His career high is 5. So a quarter of the way through the season, he's putting up numbers that compare to his other seasons in their entirety.
Yeah, there are some issues with the WAR stat, but if you look at it in relativity, like him compared to the rest of Major League Baseball, he's way ahead of everyone. Mike Trout is second, and I think he's like half a win below Bryce Harper. He's blowing away everyone. But you mentioned that he had injuries in the past, and he's healthy this year, and that's kind of what is igniting him. But I think it's his plate discipline. He looks like he studied so much in the offseason. This year, he's had 38 walks in 43 games. Last year, he had 38 walks the whole season. He played 100 games last year. So it really shows you how much he's matured at the plate. He's got a career high in batting average, OBP, slugging. His OPS is over 1,000.
Yeah, his OPS is 1193, which is the highest in the majors. It's really a very impressive season, and he's overshadowing some really good performances from a bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite player, Anthony Rizzo, is putting up an incredible season as well. His OPS is also over 1,000, and he's got 9 home runs now. His on-base percentage is among the league leaders, if not the league leader, and just playing great ball. And then you've got Bryce Harper, who's just, like, making it look like child's play.
Yeah. Well, his OBP is, I'm looking at it now, 444. Bryce Harper's is 464. So Harper is a little bit better than him there. But Rizzo is having a fantastic season. So is Adrian Gonzalez. And that's just the National League, those three guys. You know, it's the MVP race is going to be really interesting. I know you're not as big a fan of the AL, but Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera, Nelson Cruz, all these guys are having MVP caliber seasons too. They're really tearing up the Major League Baseball. The hitting this year has been really something else. There are 7 players right now with an OPS over 1,000. Last year, we didn't have any. The hitting product on the field has been a lot better this year.
And the home run numbers, too. I mean, Bryce Harper is on pace for 59 home runs right now. But there are a bunch of other guys who are pretty close to him. There are plenty of guys who are on pace for 40 or more home runs this year. And it's been a while since we've actually had a 40 home run season.
Well, Nelson Cruz did it last year, but I think he was the only one.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on Sports Appeal. I'm Matt Axelrod.
I'm Steve Gross.
We're here every week on Podbean.com. Just search for Hazard Audio. You can also find us on the Rivet News Radio app. Tweet at us as always at The Sports Appeal. Email us at sportsappealshow@gmail.com. Also on thesportsmecca.com on their radio page and WGTRlive.com. The music playing us out is going to be Tennessee Traveler by Full Service.
Traveler, I wanna know, I see you got a dark world, do you have a home? Tennessee Traveler. Hazard Audio.